Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and I'm very excited today to introduce my guest, Dr. Richard Castellano, who is a head and neck reconstructive surgeon who not only facilitates the healing of his patients, but is also concerned with their happiness as well. Known as Dr. Smile, he is no stranger to the limitations physical and emotional suffering can impose. Diagnosed at an early age with femoral head avascular necrosis, he endured 2.5 years of pain and disability, living on crutches, in braces, medical traction, and wheelchair confinement. This was compounded by his mother's diagnosis of schizophrenia and his parents' divorce. Depressed as a teen, he turned to and healed himself with a rigorous exercise practice and became a successful athlete as well as an A student. He overcame the years of suffering he endured and was inspired by the doctors in his family to become a physician himself. But it wasn't smooth sailing from there. With his heart set on going to medical school, he applied and was rejected not once, but twice. Upset, frustrated, yet determined, Dr. Rich crafted a path for himself, not only to be admitted to the medical school of his choice, but to also create a practice serving his patients, utilizing his love for artistry and psychology. He wanted to facilitate truly amazing healing for his patients on the outside as well as on the inside. He discovered and formulated the Smile Index, which helps him and now other physicians be better able to relate to and serve their patients. He is a teacher, author, and TV medical personality. His best-selling book, The Smile Prescription, is a must-read for all of us who want to live our very best and happiest lives. Dr. Rich, I am so excited to welcome you. What a wonderful thing you're doing. And we want to hear all about it. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Georgiana, the honor is mine. So excited to be here. I love hearing your smile. I can hear it. I can hear your smile. And we can change the world one smile at a time. So thank you so much for having me here. Excited to do this interview.
Wonderful. We're going to start. I mean, you have a great story. Suffering is never a great story, let's be honest, but you have a wonderful, inspiring story. I mean, like so many, your passion, and you have such passion for what you do. It was such a joy to spend an hour with you on the pre-interview, and you have such passion for what you do and such enthusiasm for what you do. And I don't know about you, but I kind of suspect that for a lot of people, it really does get generated out of their own experience. So please tell us all about you and how you, you know, got to where you are today. Especially, I was so impressed with how you just persevered. You got yourself into medical school, and look at you now. It's so exciting.
Well, thank you. You're so kind, and you know how it goes. I mean, you've achieved so much in your life. You've done so much, and it's all about hard work. And it's all about doing what you love. Now, that may sound trite, but it is so true. And more importantly, finding what makes you smile. So for me, as you said, you know, when I was 7.5, I spent 2.5 years of my life in a wheelchair and on crutches. At the time, it was certainly devastating, but you know, you just move on. And we moved through that. And when mom was diagnosed with schizophrenia, the family was embarrassed by it. We didn't know what to say. We didn't talk about it. We just kind of tried to brush it under the carpet, but then everything's falling apart. And I went to live with my family in another state. So through all that upheaval, you know, at the time I thought I was doing fine. And then I just felt like that weight was on my shoulders. I couldn't understand why. I just felt depressed. And so as you rightly said, you know, through my exercise, paying attention to my body and spending time around positive people, spending time around people who like to smile, it clicked in me. And, you know, and even with my mom's illness, she was a great smiler. My dad was great smilers. Had a lot of family members that were great. Things weren't perfect. We had our challenges, but we had a lot of smiling in our family, and it got us through. So fast forward to today, that is the core philosophy in what I do to treat patients. I just finished a seminar where I have patients come, they want to look younger, and I tell every single one of them, I say, I can help you look younger. I can do facelift procedures. I'm proud to have done thousands of them. I'm the number one long-term filler injector in the United States for what I do. And none of those treatments look as good as Mother Nature's free facelift. So if you're listening to this right now, just go ahead and put a smile on your face, even for no reason at all, or smile to who's next to you, and just see how that feels. You know the feeling when, you know how it feels when you do something good for someone else?
Uh-huh.
Like you create value for them, you do something nice, it feels good. And that's what it is like when you have genuine, authentic communication. When we communicate well, it's a joy. We're smiling and we make other people smile. So that's what it's about. And some people will say, now, wait a minute, I'm not going to smile all the time. That's all fakey and this and that. And I hear you. And the bottom line is when you come across someone like that, if you're funny enough and you make them laugh and smile, they're laughing along with you and having a good time. And they're not thinking about fake smiling. They're just enjoying what they've got. So we've just got so much to smile about. Why not? But wherever you are, it's all about, hey, where do you want to be? Where do you want to go with this? And I'm honored in medicine now to teach doctors not just to smile more, because we are measuring it. We are scientific about this. Because the brain, let's be honest, the brain will turn off. When you tell people to smile more, they won't do it. In fact, people resent being told to smile more. Don't tell me to fake smile. I'll smile whenever I want to. Now, I didn't share this with you when we spoke earlier, but I discovered that when I was building my practice and I was very good at taking care of my patients and we were busy and the money was coming in and I turned the management over to my team members and I took my eye off the ball and one of my office managers came to me and said, you know, I think you're going to have to file for bankruptcy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We were busy. I needed a vacation. I was stressed out. I wasn't seeing my family. And I just learned the lesson that however much money you make in business, you just got to make sure you don't spend more than what you're making. So we broke that rule and I had to face the consequences. So when I made the discovery, I said, you know what? We are going to get this team to smile more. We're going to turn things around. And I shared that with my team and they're like, now, you know, I couldn't get them to smile by telling them to do it. There was only one way I could get them to smile more. I put the mirrors up because they're supposed to smile and dial on the phone and all those things. And you bring chocolate in, and chocolate only goes so far. If I wanted my team to smile more, I had to show up. And I had to smile more even though I was stressed, even though I was frustrated. And when you're stressed and frustrated like that, you can't hide that from people. They just have to pay attention and look and see, boy, this guy's a little stressed out. But if you at least bring a smile, and you may say, you know, I don't feel 100% today, but you know what? I'm going to get through it because I'm so grateful for this. I'm so grateful for our patients. I'm grateful for my education. I'm grateful for my family is not perfect. I don't know anyone's family who's perfect, but you know what? I'm so grateful for them because they got me this far. And it's focus on what you're grateful for. The smile comes. And then my team, they would pick up. Things started turning around. Now, I did have some team members that no matter what I did, my best efforts, they still would not smile. And you know what they would say?
What would they say?
They would say, I fake it in front of the patients, but you can't really fake that. Everybody knows. And so I pulled them aside and I said, listen, these are people that I knew. I cared about them. I know they cared about me. I told them, listen, I said, I'm not going to fire you, but you just can't work here anymore because you never smile and it's breaking everybody's heart. If you can't smile here, you have got to go find someplace that you can smile.
Mm.
And they did end up leaving, which was very difficult, but it was the right thing to do. So that is my one rule in life is if something makes me smile or it makes the people around me smile, then I'll do it. And if it takes my smile away or takes other people's smile away, I'm not going to do it. Now, for the listeners, they may be thinking to themselves, now, smiling more, really, you're going to change your whole life? So here's the difference. As we talked about a little bit before, how do you really measure a smile? I mean, can you measure a smile? It's either a smile off or on, but there's grades. It's a spec 0 to 10. Some people, they smile no matter what happens to them. Well, I got a flat tire. Some people, no matter what happens to them, they never smile. And as we talked about before, where do most doctors fall on that spectrum? Do they tend to be high smilers, middle smilers, or low smilers?
I think we said they were low smilers. Didn't we say they were kind of like a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10?
That's what most people say. Now, because when patients are going to the doctor, oftentimes they're fearful or they're concerned about their health, or they may feel uncomfortable or nervous. What smile score do we want or need from that doctor for the best customer service and the best patient experience?
It's got to be from an 8 to a 10 or 8 to a 9. That's realistic. 8 to a 9 is realistic.
Yeah, we want it to be high. And we want them to think that they care about us, that they're not in a hurry, that they're not distracted, that they're not, you know, frustrated about something, and they're not fully present. So it's so powerful to do, but a lot of doctors still don't do it, right? So that being said, the power of smile, it has changed my life. And now that I can chat to other doctors, and it's funny because I have plastic surgeons, they pay me money from all across the country. I've got an event, they're flying in from out of town this Friday in Tampa, and I'm training them how they can use to run their business and build up their morale with their team. They will confess to me, Georgiana. They'll say, well, I guess I am a little grouchy in the office sometimes. And they bring the whole morale down. They bring the team down. They bring their patients down. And they don't even realize it. They go through all the trouble, all the medical training, they sacrifice their life through their residency, and they set up their office, they set up their team, and then they show up with a low smile, and they're breaking rapport with their patients. That's what medicine is all about, is relationships and teaching and connecting with your patients.
So absolutely.
I can talk until your ears fall off about it, but that's the basis, the core of what we do when we teach doctors, and not just doctors, teachers, attorneys. I was out at MacDill Air Force Base teaching the airmen medical providers last month, and I'm going there tomorrow. I was at USF College of Medicine, medical students. So we are taking this everywhere. It is about emotional literacy, and we can change the world through awareness, better communication, and connecting like never before.
I'm so pleased to hear you say that. You probably don't know this, but I've been doing research in communication skills in healthcare for the last 38 years. And the last study we did was with Michigan State University. It was a Blue Cross Blue Shield supported study on the model that we teach nurses. It's called whole health or whole person care. And part of that is the communication skills that we teach and we developed 40 years ago. And the patient satisfaction outcomes and the doctor satisfaction outcomes increased 27.5 to 33% with the use of the tools that we gave them. Now, we didn't even include smiling. I can only imagine if we had overlaid the communication skills with smiling, it probably would have been phenomenal, but even more so. But the reality is we know, because we've been doing this in hospitals for decades now, is that when you bring respect and appreciation, gratitude and respect for everyone in the environment, that's what a smile is. I mean, think about it. A smile is saying, I'm happy, I'm grateful, I'm here, I'm standing here, breathing, talking to you, and I respect where I work, I respect myself, I respect you, I feel good. And so it's conveying that the most essential thing that we all want. We all want to be valued. So if somebody smiles at me, you smile at me, Dr. Rich, I'm going to feel like, wow, he sees me, he values me. So what an enormously wonderful prescription. Now, talk about, you've got this incredible thing that you've developed and created called the Smile Index. Can you talk about that? Because, I mean, I know you're into measuring and you're into evidence-based and what have you. How do you come up with a formula to be able to determine, how well things are going and how you can predict the outcomes with a particular patient? That's a fascinating story you were telling me. So if you want to jump into that, I know we'd all love to hear it.
Absolutely. And first of all, I love hearing the work that you're doing about improving communication. And I just to, before I answer the question too, just to play on that as well about good patient communication, I will tell you most providers, most doctors, they have no clue how good communication can be.
I know.
Genuine, authentic. They have no idea. If doctors saw what goes on in my office, if you describe it, most doctors will say, no, that's not real. But I do it in my office every day. We have so much fun in my office, and my team is so proud of their work. They're proud of me. I'm so proud of them. And our patients come in and come all every day. Dr. Rich, your staff is so wonderful. Dr. Rich. Now, that all sounds fine. And yes, we did a lot of hard work. And yes, we've got a lot of beautiful people. But do you know why? Because we were scientific about creating this environment. We measured the mood. So I call it the Universal Smile Score. And what I noticed was if I do a cosmetic consultation, so I'm a facelift surgeon, I do facelifts under local anesthesia, and patients fly in from out of town, out of the country to do plastic surgery procedures with me. And what I noticed is, if I do a consult with a patient and I'm meeting for the very first time, if I cannot get them to smile through the entire consultation, what's the likelihood they're going to smile after I do my very best work?
Not too good.
It's pretty low. Now, there was a time, and there's not a plastic surgeon that I have met that has not had some patient somewhere that they could not make them happy, no matter what they did, and you're just beating your head against the wall, but I did such a good job, why couldn't they just be happy? And here's the reason why, is because they never smile anyway. So the earlier you diagnose this, the better, but the treatment, it's diagnostic and therapeutic. So for those patients, I tell them, I say, you know, I don't know, and it's not that common, by the way, that you get a really zero smiler, but I tell them, you know, I just don't think this treatment's going to give you enough improvement to make you happy.
Really?
No, I just want you to be happy, right? So the smile score, it's like the pain index, the pain score, 0 to 10. Some people, they smile no matter what happens to them. So they're high smilers, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's middle smilers, 4, 5, 6, middle of the road. Then there's low smilers. They'll smile some. They don't smile a lot. Then there's a zero smiler, totally flat, nothing. Now, a true zero smiler, if you meet someone who's a zero smiler, that's actually dangerous.
Oh, God.
Because they're ready to harm themselves or harm someone else.
Oh, no.
They won't even receive the energy. Now, you're a believer in the power of smile. Is that fair to say, Georgiana? Is that
absolutely
a fair assumption?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're ready for the next step. I call it the smile score audit. So most of us work in a team, and here's how the audit works. When I go into doctor's offices, I say, okay, write everyone's name down on a spreadsheet. 5 staff, 10, 20, 50, however many, 500, whatever it is. You write everyone's name down. You give everyone a smile score. Now, when we think of someone, it takes us a few seconds to make the distinction. Now, is she a high smiler, middle smiler, or a low smiler? Are you kidding me? Mary's always so happy, and she's always got a smile on her face. She's a high smiler. Now, this other person here, let's just say the name Bill. Okay, yeah, Bill, he smiles. I'm not a super high smiler, but he's happy. He's cordial. That's middle of the road for Bill. Now, this other person over here, let's say, this other person, Sally, boy, she never smiles, all right? She's pretty serious. She may smile every now and then, but that's rare. It's like an occasion smile. So most people will have a mix. Now, what do you do with that information, Georgiana? So here's what you do. You're high and your middle smilers, you pull them aside. And first of all, before I go there, first of all, now the smile score index, you can predict their behaviors. How do you do that? In general, the people that we enjoy working with the most, that they're most creative, efficient, and effective, and the ones that lift up the team, they tend to be your higher smilers. There's always an exception to the rule. However, not often in this case. And the people that tend to frustrate you, bring the team down, cause challenges, more complaints, tends to come from the lower smilers. Georgiana, have you found that to be true with the people you've interacted with in your work or in a medical setting?
Well, I really want to kind of dive into this conversation, but we've got to take a commercial break. But when we come back, Dr. Rich, we're going to jump in, because it's not just in our work. It's in our lives. And I want to talk about dating. I mean, I want to take a little aside and just talk about, this is fabulous for dating. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're with Dr. Rich, and he is the smile doctor. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
We're back with Dr. Richard Castellano, who is the author of The Smile Prescription, and he is the Smile Doctor. Not only is he an outstanding plastic surgeon and reconstructive surgeon, but he is also a researcher and a teacher and an author and a lecturer and all these wonderful things, and we're picking his brain. We're having a great time because Dr. Rich is talking about what he's done, the research he's done, and the formulation of his Smile Index. And before the break, we were talking about, he asked me, he said, you know, do you find that this is true, this measurement? Well, there's absolutely no question about it. The people, any of us, when we're around people who are smiling, people who are upbeat, of course we feel better. They make us feel better. We feel more positive as opposed to negative. And I'm going to throw this in, and I don't want to take up too much time on this, but listen, can we talk? Because if you're dating, and I am at this point in my life, dating. So when you're going out with people, one of the my girlfriends, you know, we're always talking about, well, you know, you got to qualify these people, right? How do you qualify people? Well, this is a whole new conversation that I'm going to bring back to the girls, Dr. Rich. We're going to talk about the Smile Index, because the truth of the matter is, and I don't know about anybody else, but when I am going out with someone and they're smiling, not only are they much more pleasant to be around, but the truth is they look so much better. They're you know, their eyes are brighter and their cheeks are, you know, firmer and you know, they just look great. So I think not only is smiling great for the morale, but it's also kind of a, it's kind of like a facelift, isn't it? I mean, really, because when you smile, yeah, it's true. I was out the other night on Saturday night. I had a date with this lovely man, and he's an attractive man, but very serious. And when he smiled, it was like the sun came out. So I think that just in terms of all around attractiveness, and I'd love for you to talk about that because, look, you're a plastic surgeon. And of course, everybody wants to look young. We don't want our faces to sag and all of that stuff. Is it true that you can exercise? There are these facial exercises. Do they really help people? And smiling is one of them. Do they really help people have better looking skin and tighter looking, a tighter looking face?
Well, let's talk about that. You bring up a couple of things. Now, for dating, if you are dating or if you're in a relationship or you want to be in a relationship, you need to listen to this right now. Stop what you're doing and listen, right? When a relationship works, there is smiling going on. My wife is the woman of my dreams. The best thing that ever happened to me, we have three kids. We've been married for going on 17 years. We have three kids. I have a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and now an 11-year-old. And we, you know, it's hectic and crazy with the kids, and they drive us crazy. But let me tell you something. In my relationship, my wife, she makes me smile so much. The things that she does, she cares for me so deeply. And that's my job. Now, no matter what's going on, if she's stressed out, frustrated, the kids driving her up the wall, if I make her laugh and I make her smile, even if she doesn't feel like it, but I was just that funny or I knew how to catch her and remind her for our gratitude and remind her for our blessings and just catch her off guard. And if I get her to smile, everything is better. So when you are dating, I'm just going to say this. If you are meeting someone, please, to date someone who is a low smiler, you really better be careful because that relationship, there's research done to show that people who do not smile that much, they're more likely to get a divorce.
I believe it.
So if you're okay to get into a relationship knowing it may not work out as much, well, then that's fine. But if you really want a keeper, the higher the smile score, if you really want to be happy, get someone who is a high smiler. And more importantly, when that person is committed to making you smile, we never want to leave them. They just make us feel good all the time. And that is more important than money. It's more important than sex. It's more important than anything else, is the ability to feel that love, to feel that safety and security, because you know everything's going to be fine. It relaxes you. It's therapeutic.
Exactly.
It changes your body when you smile and laugh. So if you're dating, focus on the people that make you smile and that they've got a big smile. And if you love making someone smile, then that may be a person that's a fit. But if you're saying to yourself, oh, they're not a big smiler, you better tread very carefully. They better have some stellar other qualities somewhere. And in my book, personally, nothing substitutes for a low smile. Make it a high smile score. Now, sometimes people need help, and we all go through low smile score times in our life. We all have personal stresses and health issues to deal with, and that's fine. But if we just stay there in the low smile, what you're doing socially is you're driving people away from you. And nobody really wants to do that. But if I get preferential treatment wherever I go, people treat me nice because I'm smiling as much as I can, and I try to make people smile. If I'm getting my food at the fast food place and I order, I say, hey, how are you? And they're making my order. Now, I don't want to slow them down because they're fast. There's a big line there. And after I give my order and they're moving, I'm like, has everybody been behaving today? You know, just something silly. They're like, oh, yeah, everybody's been behaving. Or, no, they haven't been behaving. It's been bad today. You know, have a little laugh or something silly. And now they like you. So it's just that simple. Now, try to do that in every aspect of your life. How about when you're driving? I call it the smile challenge. Now, my wife, I already told you she's the woman of my dreams. Now, she is the sweetest person. When people meet her, they're like, Irene is so nice. She is just so darling. And even though she's the woman of my dreams and so sweet, when I'm driving and she's telling me how to drive or where to drive, we are at each other's throats. It's insane. It's just so crazy that these two sweet people were fighting with each other. And so that's my smile challenge. So what do I do? I'm driving, I put a big smile on, and I say, honey, I'm making that right turn you asked me to make. Did I do a good job? Now, we're still fussing with each other, but it's fussing. We're playful fighting. Changes the whole mood. Because, honestly, it's scary to me. Like we're really fighting. I'm like, are you serious? We really are fighting. This is fighting over driving. It's crazy. And I know a lot of couples have this, but when I do my smile challenge, the time we need to smile the most is when we want to smile the least. And when I do my private events and I do my trainings, whether I'm in the national meetings in Las Vegas, California, all across the country, Chicago, Atlanta, New Orleans, this is what we teach, that you can measure it. It's reproducible. It's real time. And you cannot fake a smile score. It is 100% authentic or it's not. We know when it's real and we know when it's not. And if you have an upset, if you have a problem, if you have a situation with someone, you know where it is because those are the low smile score conversations. You can read people's minds. You truly can just by their nonverbal communication. And we know that, but we don't use it. But now we can use it. You can measure it. You can use it. And when I do my private trainings, we have hundreds of strategies that we teach to say, look, here's what you say here. Here's what you do here. Here's how you, let's practice, let's rehearse this. Because as you said, the facial muscle exercises, we talked about this earlier. Yes, it does work for your mood. Now, it doesn't necessarily, it may help your skin a little bit. Nothing is going to help as much as a facelift may do if someone has sagging. However, to look your best, smiling, you want to look younger, act immature, right? Behavior does those things. So smiling frequently, it builds your emotional tone, your emotional awareness. The more we smile, the more we recognize it in others, the more we recognize that emotional feeling of stress, of discomfort, of joy, of connection. So you absolutely should practice this as much as possible. And that's what I teach doctors. That's why I'm called out, you know, to travel and speak. And like I said, in Tampa, we've got our event coming up. So proud of our doctors coming in to train. And it is coachable. And some people will say, oh, it's personality. Well, yes, it may be personality, but we can change our personality if we desire to do so. We can become more positive. We can become more focused on a certain area. We can learn a new language. We can learn a new skill. We can learn a new trade. And you can learn a new way to speak non-verbally.
Right. And let's talk about certain things, because sometimes you can meet somebody and the first couple of times you meet them and you're smiling and they're smiling and everybody's smiling. And then what happens is, like everything else, time tends to, you know, diminish all of the sparkle and the twinkle. So I think one of the things that I have found interesting is to kind of chart over the course of 6, 8, 10 months, a year, whether it's a friend or a family member or whatever, to really take a look at how people are more kind of consistently behaving. I love the idea of, you know, having that as a criteria, as looking at how people smile. You also talked about nonverbal body language, which smiling is part of it, but there's also a lot of other things. You said, I've got to get you to clarify this. You said, if you want to look younger, act immature. Okay, so, I mean, can you clarify that? Are you saying if you want to act younger, you really should kind of, what does that mean? Don't be sophisticated, don't be stiff, act like a young person. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I'll say it in one word, silliness.
Silliness.
Be
okay.
Silly. Now, is silly going to kill us? No, silly is not going to kill us. But when you're silly, you let your guard down. If we get too stiff and stuffy, in our society, some people get overly domesticated. They're too rigid. You got to remember, human beings, we're animals. We're animals. You know what fascinates me, Georgiana?
What?
Why is it that some people treat dogs with better enthusiasm and a better greeting,
yes,
than they would another person?
Well, that's all.
Yeah, that's a good boy.
That's a whole other discussion. That's a a whole other discussion because, let's face it, and this is a sad comment about our society. We are in a time and a place in our culture. I presented on this. We are spending upward, getting pretty close to $70 billion a year on pet expenses, okay? $70 billion, it's larger than many countries, economy. And why are we doing this? This is just cats and dogs. Because we've lost our ability to communicate comfortably and effectively with one another. And so, I mean, this is like a big circle. But people will treat their animals, it's unconditional acceptance. They don't have to listen to their, you know, their feedback. They don't have to listen to criticism. There are so many reasons for that. And I think that one of the things is, you know, they feel that their animals are giving them smiles. They feel like the dog is happy to see them when they come home. You know what I mean?
That's exactly it. They're spending $70 billion because it makes them smile. And if you make somebody smile, you know, there can be a time when you can make someone smile. Sometimes you can be better at making someone smile than they are at making themselves smile. Some people are not very good at making themselves smile. And when you are better at making someone smile than they are themselves, they will never leave you. Never. And when you talk about relationships, when people say, well, yeah, we meet and that's great. And then the next time you meet, well, it's not so great. And it may plateau after a while. Yeah, we can take an approach in a relationship to say, well, let's see what happens. For me, I have clearly identified who is most important in my life. My wife, my kids, the people I work with. In fact, I love people. Anyone I meet, I want to make that an opportunity. How do I make this person smile? But my most important relationships, I put a lot of thought into, okay, how am I really going to make my wife smile more? Like, what would really make it for my kids? You know, what can I do that would just bring out such a great smile for them? My staff. I'm so proud of my staff. And they love on me so much in the office. They take such great care of me. I'm like, how can I take good care of them? In fact, they're coming to my event, which I love. And I told them, look, I want you guys to see me speak because they haven't seen me do the training like this. They just live it real time in our office when we measure the nonverbal communication. But now they're going to see me teaching it to other doctors. And I was so humbled because they came to me and they said, whatever you need, Dr. Rachel, we'll show up early. We're so excited to be a part of this. And they came to me because I am pretty darn good at making my team smile. I've been working at it. So when you have a relationship, if you feel it's tapering off, the real question is, where would you like that relationship to be? That's number one. And then once you answer that question, then you know what to do. Well, I better get to work. If my wife comes home and she's not smiling, I've got work to do. Period. The end. Nothing else exists. If my wife is not smiling, I'm going to get to work on that because it's that important. I don't want to put my kids through what I went through, and she's the woman of my dreams. If I lost her, that would be the biggest mistake of my life. That stops the whole world. And when you are that committed to your partner, no matter what you mess up, and you're going to mess up because you're human, we're all human, it's not easy being human. And when you goof up or do something inconsiderate or do something you shouldn't have, they're going to forgive you because you make them smile.
Absolutely.
It's really that simple.
Now, there are two things. Believe it or not, we have gotten up to the second commercial break, time is flying by. It's so wonderful talking with you. Now, when we come back, you said to me in the pre-interview, don't forget to ask me to tell you the rock star story.
Yes. Oh, it's a good story. I'll tell it. I'm ready for that story.
So don't go anywhere, everybody. We're going to come back, and Dr. Rich is going to tell us the rock star story, and I think it has something to do with Motley Crue. I'm not positive, but I think it might. We'll be right back.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of Health Corp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals, to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
We are back with Dr. Rich Castellano, the smile doctor, who is much more than just a smile doctor. He's an author, a writer, he's a teacher, he's a father and a husband and a man who adores his wife. And I love it. I love hearing you talk like that because, you know, sometimes don't you wonder if romance is dead in America? You know, it's like, and smiling and happiness is probably, you know, when I think about it, when you bring flowers home to your wife or take her out to a special place, what does she do? She smiles. That's what we do when we're happy. We smile. So what a romantic and wonderful thing. But you've got to tell us the rock star story. So
yes.
We've only got, believe it or not, yeah, we've only got like 14 minutes left. So I want to get it in there.
We'll get it in there. So you bring up a great point. Now, what happens if we bring flowers to our spouse and it doesn't make them smile? What happens then?
You talk about is romance dead?
Is romance dead? Well, guess what? The smile score is like the NASDAQ stock ticker. It shows your stock value. And if you can bring your spouse or your significant other a petal, and if it makes them smile to the moon, your stock value just went up. And if you bring them two dozen roses and it doesn't make them smile, you've got some work to do. So So whether or not romance is dead is, how's that smile score coming along? And that's what will show it now. So the smile score is so powerful, measure it in everything that you do. And because when I teach this to doctors to really get their attention, I love to share the rock star story. So whether I'm teaching at the military or I'm teaching in the national meetings, and doctors come to me and they're like, really, just smiling more? I said, let me tell you about what this is all about. And so I said, so I gave one of my smile talks to this group in Vegas. It was a medical meeting, people coming from all across the country. And a doctor was there. His name's Dr. Charles Ronells. He's the inventor of the vampire facelift. He invented the O shot and the P shot. And he came up to me afterwards and he says, Dr. Rich, loved your talk. Very powerful. I'm a big believer in the power of smile. He says, I want to tell you a story. He says, I've got a teenage son and he's a fan of Motley Crue. So I took him to a concert. And he says, we're going to the concert and all the fans are there. They're getting ready to go. They're up on stage. And as they're looking up on stage, there was no Tommy Lee, right? He's the drummer, you know, the real wild child, rock star. He's a rock star of rock stars. Tommy Lee, okay? But he's not there. So then it sounds like they're getting things started, and then the spotlights go up to high in the building, and there's a drum set, like, way high up, perched on the top of this structure. And then there's this line, this guy zip lines from one side of the building to the other to the drum set. It's Tommy Lee, he gets off the zip line, and then as he gets on the zip line, he gets on the drum set, and he's jamming out his drums, and the fans are going wild, and they're having a blast. And then he finishes the set, and then he gets on the zip line one more time. He goes down to the stage, and as he's zip lining down, he screams out to the fans. He says, I freaking love playing the drums for you guys. But he does not say the word freaking, right?
Yes.
So Tommy Lee is a rock star. Knows how to make people smile, right? When you are a rock star at making people smile, they will do whatever you tell them to. They love you. They're starstruck. And I tell my doctors, I say, look, you guys are rock stars. And I say, what are you talking about? They don't believe it. They're like, well, I'm humble like everyone else. I'm like, listen, look at the general population. When someone's in trouble and they need medical care, you're a rock star at that moment in time, right? It's not just about you being humble. You look what you've gone through. Look how you can help. Look how you can make a difference. That's rock star quality. However, if they're so humble that they don't express how good they are and what they do, it's not arrogance. If you're telling people, look, I'm really good at this stuff and I can help you, let's get this taken care of. When doctors embrace their rock star, it feels wonderful to take care of your patients. You're just making another person's life better. And we all know what it's like to make people, to help someone out. It gives us that good feeling, that rush to make someone's life better, to give them kindness, to give them respect. And when doctors, or people for that matter, learn to brace their inner rock star, their inner beauty, it makes them smile like crazy. It makes people around you smile like crazy. There's no substitute for that. So my job when I meet someone and they're telling me, hey, Dr. Rich, this is all great, but I'm having this problem. Whenever they have a problem, that means it's a low smile score situation. I say, great, let's solve this right now. Let's solve your problem, okay? We're going to solve your problem. How do we turn this into a high smile score situation? Well, it's a matter of, okay, how can we raise the smile? How can we raise your smile? How can we shift perspective? How can we look at this from a point of view where, oh my gosh, look at the amazing things going on, and shifting that perspective to the fact that we're not living on $20 a month, that we're not dodging bombs or in a war-torn area. Most of us in the United States have a lot to be thankful for. Shifting that perspective allows you to transform the experience, much like a rock star does. They create the mood. So creating the mood is what a rock star does. And I've found the ability to create and maintain a mood is so powerful. You know who does it also really good in addition to rock stars, some of the best mood creators?
What?
Those are the grandparents.
Oh, yes, yes.
Create a mood. You know what I found out? My kids love to spend time with my wife's parents. And my kids are very well behaved. They're good students. They're good athletes. But you know what blew me away? My children, their behavior, it is better around their grandparents. And I'm like, well, what gives? They don't fight as much. They're not as fussy. What's going on? But I just accepted. I say, well, that's wonderful. Grandparents are great about setting the mood. But you know what else I've discovered about the grandparent phenomenon?
Yeah.
When the grandparents are around the grandkids, the grandparents have better behavior too. The grandparents are less, they're not as grouchy. They're not as fussy as well. And it's the mood that everyone sets. Pets can set the mood. Kitty cats, you know, kittens, babies set the mood. Music sets the mood. So why is this important? The future of medicine is about behavior, right? The doctors that can induce healthy behaviors and help patients eliminate unhealthy behaviors, that's the future of medicine. That's what creates the best in health. And if you really want to change behavior, change it in your office, change it in yourself, change it in your patients, change it in your personal and professional relationships, you must become a master at creating a mood. And you must measure it. You must measure the smile scores of your team. You can also measure the engagement scores. I don't have the time to go through that now, but we teach that in our private courses, and I'd love to share more. That being said, this is what we do. Set the mood. Get other people to smile. Be cognizant of the behavior. And measure, because it makes a difference. This is science. You can get consistent, predictable results. We do it all the time, and our success is how is the proof in the pudding.
Right, and I want to jump back to the grandparents and, you know, animals and what have you. The thing about grandparents, because I'm up in the bleachers when it comes to age. I'm all the way up in the bleachers. So
you have a lot of kids, active years ahead of you. Yet.
As my kids say, they say, "Mom, you're a senior." When they were younger, they used to tell me I was as old as trees, okay? But anyway, here's the thing with grandparents. Grandparents, they do not have the responsibility or the expectation that they are answerable for their grandchildren's behavior. They have the pure pleasure of unconditional love. And this is the thing I would like to bring up, because I think it's really, really important. Because what you're also talking about, the subtext of what you're talking about, is unconditional love and acceptance. When you say, "Oh, my wife isn't smiling, I got to make her smile." What we're really talking about here is not looking at that person in a critical, judgmental way. We're talking about pure acceptance. We're talking about pure appreciation, gratitude for them in our lives. So when we start to look at all of this stuff, and, you know, where does the smile come from? It comes from the joy. It comes from, you know, realizing I have this, like, I mean, you're so appreciative. You talk about how wonderful your wife is, but the fact that you appreciate her, the fact that you look at her and she's, you know, the love of your life, and your life would be nothing without her. Look at that gratitude. Look at that joy. Look at that appreciation. So of course you're going to smile. You're going to make her smile. And I think that for people who can't smile or don't smile or are too serious, not only should they read your book, of course, but what they can also think about is the gratitude, because you've been talking about that. You talked about it in the pre-interview, and you've talked about it throughout this interview. And the thing I think is so admirable, and whether or not, you know, you include it as part of, I think you do, that gratitude, when you're grateful, when I'm grateful for what I have, of course I'm going to be happier and I'm more joyful and smile than if I'm like, "Oh, I didn't get my cut of the pie," you know?
Absolutely. It is about gratitude. And for all of those things you said, better relationships, really, but how do you measure it? When gratitude is created, it's very difficult to have a grateful moment and to be great and have gratitude with no smile. So the beauty of it is, humans, it's like a reflex in the knee. If they're smiling, they're more prone to those gratitude behaviors, gratitude words, gratitude actions, right? So as long as you're measuring it relentlessly, experiment and have fun and find your own smile challenges. Where are the areas in your life that you don't show up with the greatest smile? And do you have the courage to invite yourself to smile in those situations? I will tell you, you know if you're doing it right if it feels uncomfortable. It must feel uncomfortable, because when you first start the smile challenge, you will not want to smile in some of these situations. It'll push you out of your comfort zone. But when you do and you take on that internal comfort, it's like lifting weights in the gym. It feels uncomfortable to lift that weight, but you get the burn, grow from it, and it's the same thing with the smile challenge. You are building emotional muscle.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. So what I think you're saying is, look, we can do this two ways. For those of us who are not the biggest smilers and are not, you know, really kind of bursting with joy throughout the day, we can smile and become that way. Or we can become that way and express it through smiling. So it's really kind of a loop, isn't it? It's kind of like, you know, one begets the other. So it becomes like exercising, as you said. It's a muscle, and smiling is a muscle, right? A lot of muscles. You can develop it. You don't have to be the biggest smiler in the world. But what you can do is learn how to smile, right? Is it a practice? I think what you're saying is we can develop a practice of how to smile.
Absolutely. This is like P90X for your emotion. And I'm one of the best emotional trainers you'll ever need. If you know someone that needs to train in that, have them reach out to me. Come to a private training. We have an online coaching and mentoring program. Yes, you can train these things, because I am relentlessly training myself in these skills for completely selfish reasons. It just feels so good to smile myself. It feels good to make other people smile. And we're meeting each other for the first time today, and I have enjoyed myself so much because you're making me smile, and we're making each other smile. And what's not beautiful and amazing about that? Why wouldn't we want to do this everywhere? So yes, this is like P90X for your emotional literacy. Go get a smile workout. Get a smile buddy. Take the smile challenge. Do a smile audit. But please measure and get our content. Get our information. Learn about this. If this can save your life, it can save your relationship. If you've got young ones and kids, as a parent, the number one thing I want my kids to be is happy. How
Absolutely.
Do I know if they're happy?
Yeah. They're smiling.
Are they smiling? Are they smiling a little bit? Are they smiling a medium amount? Are they smiling a lot? And I've got some kids going through the teenage phase, and guess what happens when they become teenagers?
Oh, boy.
Not so cool. Smile around mom and dad when you're a teenager, and that's just the way that it is. But there's still things that make them smile. So when you follow that, if you have anyone, you look at Robin Williams before, it's so sad he took his life, but at the picture, a few days before, he went to a Dairy Queen for an ice cream, they said, oh, it's Robin Williams, let's take a selfie. He looked like heck warmed over. You could see it. He had just a total, complete zero smile, and it was no surprise that after looking like that, that unfortunately he took his life, but those things are rarely a surprise. You have to kind of warm up to it. You have to have a series of low smile, zero smile days. And if you do that to anyone who stops themselves from smiling for days on end, weeks on end, months on end, we want to harm ourselves or other people, and it goes the other way as well. You have someone who has a high smile score, high or middle smile score, days on end, weeks on end, months on end, it becomes very difficult to want to harm yourself, or it becomes hard to want to harm other people. How valuable would that be if this caught on? And it is catching on, and it will catch on. It's like Gandhi got the British Empire out of India. One, we are doing civil disobedience. Smile is a protest. Smiling is a protest against seriousness and negativity.
Oh,
and
that
when you protest way, you can make an enormous global change.
That is brilliant. That's going to be the tagline, because we're actually, I can't believe the time has gone by. Before we go, you've got to give you've got to give the learners your website, Doctor, and then I want you to repeat that. Smiling is a, that was so good, I want to write it down. It's an act of civil disobedience. That's correct.
Civil disobedience. Smiling, a smile, is a protest against seriousness and negativity. It is
That's
a non-violent
wonderful.
Protest, and it's a reflex in others. So people can find out more. We've got our event. It's called ppmdlive.com. So ppmdlive.com or practiceprofitabilitymd.com. And that's where I'm training other doctors, training other professionals on how they can learn more about emotional literacy. This is the greatest leadership tool they'll ever use. This is the greatest sales tool they'll ever use. This is the greatest relationship tool to stay in your relationships, personal or professional. You want a promotion? If you can make your boss smile more than anyone else, guess who they're going to go to when they want to bring someone up in the ranks? And if you're not able to make your boss smile, your job security is in question.
Well, I have to tell you,
the power of smile.
Doctor, this has been, Dr. Rich, this has been truly an inspirational and joyful interview. And
Thank you.
That I'm sure the listeners, don't forget his book, The Smile Prescription.
Smile Prescription. It hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. It's on Amazon. You can order it, and you're guaranteed to get a smile out of that book, many, many smiles. But thank you, Georgiana. You are so wonderful and amazing for sharing this message, and you are a role model. You are a beacon of positivity to the world, and I'm grateful to be a part of this with you. And we're just getting started. The best is yet to come.
Yet to come. I love that. Dr. Rich, thank you so much for joining us. And listeners, come back again next week when we have another wonderful interview like today, and take a look at how we can all learn to live above the drama.